Chapter 62. Iron Fist wore a peculiar white gem on his chest. Tyr didn't recognize the stone, which had always been tucked into his tunic, but she did recognize the leather thong from which it hung. Apart from his size and musculature, it was the only thing about him she recognized. His bare limbs were manacled to the wall at his wrists and elbows, thighs and ankles. An iron strap held his waist flush against the wall. A helmet was bolted directly into the stone and encased his head completely, locking under the chin, the glass over his eye slits so dark he could probably barely make out shapes as he twisted his head back and forth painfully. Little wads of cloth had been stuffed into several of the manacles to cushion them. They were bloody. He'd lost weight, too. How long had he been here? Tyr was so stunned that she almost didn't move in time when the door opened behind her. The crying slave girl brought in a bucket of water and stood next to the tub, awkwardly. Must have been new. The Nukaba touched the water.
You took so long, it's fine now. Begone and see to it I'm not disturbed.
The girl bobbed down to her knees and backed out to the door, then stopped.
Blessed, would you like your bathers?
What part of not disturbed was unclear? Out! Remind me tomorrow to have the captains put stripes on you.
After the girl left, the Nukaba rubbed her thigh in evident anguish. Tyr saw what she guessed was a musket ball scar, months old but still red and angry.
I want you to know I wasn't always like this, the Nukaba said, though she didn't look at Iron Fist. Your prism friend shot me. I almost died. The musket ball is still in my leg and the pain is... quite something.
She picked up a little cup of a brownish liquid that Tyr assumed was tincture of poppy and drained it. The Nukaba gritted her teeth against the taste.
I made it through 4 broken bones, a broken tooth, innumerable black eyes, and such humiliations as you would scarce believe at the hands of that husband you left me to, and I never once asked for poppy. But maybe I was scared that it would make me lose control, that I would tell him how I wanted to kill him, how I'd been planning it for years, how he reduced me to seducing his men because I knew I'd need help.
She walked over to him and removed a pin at Iron Fist's throat.
Turn your head away. I'm going to bathe.
Iron Fist turned his head, and she replaced the pin, locking his head in place. She stripped off her overrobe and grabbed a pinch of the cut mushrooms on the table. She tucked them into her lip, then limped over to the bath. She got in slowly as she spoke.
They all want everything, Hardoon. I had everything arranged, you know. Hanishu would be my satrap. You would be my general. We would secede from the Chromeria and be our own ruling family like the Giles. Instead, you refuse me. You get Hanishu killed for the Giles? You want to go after Gavin's bastard son and save him? Why do you care less about us than about them? Where's your loyalty, brother?
Tyr hadn't even known Iron Fist and the Nukaba were related. At first she'd thought this was some sort of weird seduction. The Nukaba was Iron Fist's sister?
Oh, hells.
The jumble of emotions Tyr had felt on seeing him, terror that he was hurt, inexpressible joy that he was alive, determination to release him immediately, fury at this bitch for doing this to him, and relief that he would take care of things from this point if only she could free him, suddenly shattered. Tyr was here to kill Iron Fist's sister, right in front of him. He had never spoken of her, but this was the woman he'd kept a portrait of in his chambers. A man like Iron Fist didn't keep a picture of someone he hated.
Why? Damn you, speak!
The Nukaba shouted, and she flung the empty laudanum cup at him. It shattered on the wall, but Iron Fist said nothing. A quick tap sounded on the door, and it opened. The chief eunuch poked his head in.
Blessed?
He asked.
Out! She said. No, wait! Fuck! The prisoner's gag is still in. Remove it!
The eunuch went to Iron Fist and pulled a different pin in the helmet and manipulated something Tyr couldn't see. The eunuch then grabbed a few of the larger pieces of the broken cup.
Leave them. Go to bed. I'll not need your services for the rest of the night.
The eunuch bowed.
Blessed, may I summon your bathers?
They're all spies. Good night,
he sighed.
Blessed, I worry.
Good night,
she said. It was a command, and as the door closed, Tyr had her plan.
Brother,
Haruru said.
I didn't know.
Iron Fist said, his voice low and rusty with disuse.
I didn't know he beat you.
Because you were gone.
Why?
If you were here, you'd have seen. You'd...
Iron Fist, his head still trapped, pointing away from her only side.
When Mother died, I swore vengeance on her killers. I thought it was my fault she'd died. And then I'd foolishly killed the man who held the blade, so we couldn't be sure who'd ordered it. I know it may seem obvious in retrospect, but Mother had many enemies, and not just enemies of our family. There were old rivals and bitter former friends. She was, apparently, not an easy woman to get along with.
What are you talking about? Mother was beloved. Everyone loved her,
the Nokava said. She filled a golden chalice, though this simply with wine, as far as Tyr could tell.
No, she wasn't. You were too young. You don't remember what she was like, Haruru. You were her baby, her only surviving daughter. She was difficult, but we loved her.
And you sure showed it, she sneered, giving away everything she'd worked for to go to the Chromeria.
A big breath, then.
I went to the Chromeria at the command of the Order of the Broken Eye,
Iron Fist said. Tyr saw the shock on the Nukaba's face mirror her own. Iron Fist? The Order? Iron Fist was in the Order? Iron Fist was everything Tyr had ever hoped to be. He was her patron blackguard for Aholam's sake, resolute, loyal, comfortable in command, supreme in competence, unrivaled in confidence. Hearing from his own lips that he was a spy and therefore a traitor, that he was actually part of the Order, whereas she herself only pretended to work for it, was like taking your wedding ring in shame to a shop to pawn it, and then hearing the gold ring was brass over lead, that all the precious stones were nothing but coloured glass. Tyr was so shocked she almost lost her grip on Parol and became visible.
Impossible,
the Nukaba said. Tyr had told Iron Fist everything, not just about Aglaia's blackmail, but also about the Order. So why wasn't she dead? Had he not told the old man? Why?
You remember our uncle? He was able to point me to the right people. I went to them and asked that Mother's murderers be killed. All of them.
What?
Of course, I didn't know who those murderers were or how many there were, and we had very little money then. I couldn't pay the Order, so they took my service instead. It was too much for me at first to swear allegiance to such filth, but then I thought, who has a better claim on my fealty? A distant Orholam? Or my own family. So I went back 3 days later and told them if they would not only avenge Mother but also protect you, I would join them. They said they were not bodyguards, but they would foil any assassination attempts against you they heard of, and would do their best to guard your life. They found and left the evidence for you to find that Mother's killer was in the Gatu tribe. My first test of fealty was to enroll in the Chromeria instead of hunting down the murderer myself. I didn't know it until he was dying, but Hani Shu followed me to the Chromeria because he found out about my oath to the Order. He hoped to save my soul.
This isn't true, the Nukaba said. You were never a liar before. What have those guiles done to you?
Sister, the Order has killed 14 men for me. But they weren't above keeping me in the dark. I didn't know your husband was such a monster. They told me that only 4 years ago. The captain who helped you? Yatoi? He worked for them. Us.
Lies! Lies! I did this!
Takama Tanabdat. Tatbert of the Ishelian. Tadefi of the Coast. Ultras Sinigut. Agilas the Spearman. Yuba Winitran. Sifax Winitran, Isil Guafa, Azror Badis, Idus Aziki, Isim of the Tlaganu, Usam Yuftan, Ziri the Stranger, Udad Red. In return, I gave the Order information. It never seemed to really matter what I told them. It was just family politics, right? until this war.
I don't care about that,
she said. But obviously now the intoxicants were fully upon her, and she was struggling for clarity.
Those are all the people who stood between me and becoming Nukaba. You're claiming you killed them all?
They were all people who planned to kill you. Once others figured out that opposing you meant risking assassination, those who could be deterred by fear were deterred, and those who were more ambitious went straight to trying to kill you first. It wasn't what I intended.
You're saying you handed me this seat, that I'm Nukaba only because of you?
Tyr saw his chest rise and fall in a silent sigh.
You never wondered why all those people died or disappeared. Your enemies certainly did.
She was silent.
What? You really thought that you were so lucky? So blessed that everyone in your way fell dead at your feet? Dear Orholam, sister, how arrogant have you become?
He couldn't see her face, or he probably would have stopped talking, because after her initial shock was the briefest flash of embarrassment like lightning in a distant cloud, and then the thunder of her rage rolled. Tears started drafting, and she was only lucky that the Nukaba went to a side cupboard first. Dripping wet, the Nukaba threw open a drawer and grabbed for something. She swayed, missed, and rummaged. Her hand emerged with a short, sharp knife. She was so furious she didn't even speak. She rushed toward Iron Fist with murderous intent. Tia tried to make the Nukaba's arm go dead with peril, but she missed the nerve as the woman moved. At the last moment, Tia abandoned her magical efforts and chopped her hand down across the Nukaba's extending wrist. The knife clanged on the floor, nearly striking Iron Fist's leg on the way down. Tia jerked her arm back within the confines of the master cloak as the Nukaba rubbed her wrist, baffled. She looked at Iron Fist as if he'd done it somehow, and then she pounced after the knife, dignity forgotten. This time Tia didn't go after the nerve in the arm, she went for the spine. She'd had far more practice with this. Many slaves worth, or Holon forgive her. It still took her until the Nukaba had recovered the knife and stepped again toward Iron Fist, undeterred.
And now, the Nukaba said, you mother!
She raised the knife as Tia got the right grip. Tia squeezed hard, and the Nukaba dropped boneless. Tia caught her, but lost the peril. It didn't matter. The Nukaba was so befuddled in her intoxicated haze by suddenly losing control of her limbs that she didn't even fight.
What's happening? Haruru,
Iron Fist said, neck locked to the side. The helmet rattled.
Who's there?
Tia had almost wrestled the bigger woman back to the tub when the Nukaba started trying to fight. Tia squeezed hard again, but her hold on the spine must have shifted, because this time the Nukaba's body bucked and seized so violently, they both went down. But Tia held on to the parrel at the woman's throat. Perhaps her very life depended on it. Her grip shifted to the right place again as the Nukaba fell on her and the woman went limp again. Tia scrambled out from under the woman's dead weight, careful to keep the parrel grip. It was like lifting a fish live from the river, losing the hook and finding it both too big and too heavy for your hands, praying it didn't slip or thrash before you got to shore. She'd lost her invisibility, but maybe it didn't matter. Iron Fist's face was turned away, and though his helmet rattled with his efforts to see what was happening, he couldn't, at least as far as Tia could tell. The Nukaba's eyes rolled in terror as she saw the hooded figure standing over her, and her mouth gaped to scream, but nothing came out. She had no control over her body below the neck. With difficulty, while keeping the parrel hold on her spine, Tia lifted the woman and lowered her into the bathtub. She flopped the woman's limp arms over the sides of the tub to keep her from sliding down. Her first thought had been to simply drown the Nukaba. Drunks passed out and drowned all the time, especially in hot water. It had seemed to be what the chief eunuch had been nervous about. But that wasn't going to work now. Not if Tia freed Iron Fist. If she freed Iron Fist and the Nukaba was found drowned, they would assume he'd done it. It wouldn't matter that there were no bruises on her face, no signs of violence anywhere on her body. Damn, it had been a good plan. Tia stood, frozen with indecision.
Murder shop, Iron Fist said. Is that you? Morteza? Is this you and Nori Sharp? Speak to me, please. You can't do this. Things are different than whatever the old man thought when he sent you. Please!
Tia didn't answer. It was all true, then. Iron Fist really was in the Order of the Broken Eye. It felt as if her world were coming down. The best man she knew was on the same side as the worst men she knew, Murder Sharp and the Old Man of the Desert.
"Don't you dare hurt her,"
Iron Fist hissed. Tyr had never heard him angry before, had never heard his voice skittering along the edge of control. She approached him, pulling her invisibility back around her. It didn't work fully. The master cloak had gotten wet from the Nukaba's soaking body and bathing robe, and the master cloak shimmered weirdly in the air where it was damp.
"I can convince her," Iron Fist said. "Whatever it is we need, I'll make whatever deal you want. I've given my whole life and all my integrity for this. Please!"
Tyr said nothing. She felt as if her heart had been ripped out. She couldn't keep this up. She was still barely holding on to the Nukaba's spine. And this...
"You leave me no choice,"
Iron Fist said, and his chest lifted as he took a deep breath to shout an alarm to the guards. But Tyr anticipated it, and she slid the spiky gag inside the helmet into his mouth as he opened it and pinned it in place. But he hadn't been inhaling to scream. Instead, he spread his arms, wrapping his hands around his chains, bracing his elbows against the wall. Tyr could only watch. There was no way he was going to break those massive chains. Breath hissed out from the huge man. His muscles went taut throughout his torso and arms. Veins jumped out, but the chains held. A moment later, he gasped a breath and went limp. Tyr turned and picked up the knife the Nukaba had dropped. A moment later, Tyr heard Iron Fist's manacles rattle as he flung himself against them. Tyr stepped close to the Nukaba. She whispered so Iron Fist wouldn't hear her or recognize her voice if he did. "And now, you bitch, now you pay for your treason." She dropped the invisibility so that the last thing the Nukaba saw would be Tyr's peril-widened eyes, all black as the hell that awaited her. The woman blanched in terror, and Tyr calmly pushed her arm under the water so there would be no spurting, and sliced her veins open from wrist to forearm. A gush of blood incarnadined the bathwater. The chains rattled again, another grunt of expelled air and failure. Tyr grabbed the Nukaba's other arm and slashed it underwater too. Then she lifted it just enough to drape it over the side of the tub. Blood poured onto the floor like wine from the slaves' pitchers at the party downstairs. Tyr doused the blade of the Nukaba's knife in that already slowing stream and then dropped the knife onto the stones beside the tub, careful lest the blood spatter her cloak. After the action came the horror of it. The Nukaba was blinking wildly, eyes rolling, face contorting. She clearly wanted to scream. She wanted to weep. She wanted to run. But there was to be none of that. Not for her. She was to watch herself die, knowing that her murderer would go free, that this would look like self-slaughter. If she could but yell a single word, she would live. Tyr held the woman eye to eye, her own muscles knotting with the tension of holding the peril grip tight on that spine, for long minutes. Under one fluttering eye was a tattoo in Old Parian, justice. Under the other, mercy. But neither winked. Neither was any different from the other or different from any woman's eyes. Haruru was no longer the Nukaba. In her dying, she was no more a symbol of Orholm than she had been in her living. She was now only a victim of those stronger than she was. Now she was just a woman, dying in her bath. Tyr held the Nukaba's spine. The water was a deepening red when she heard Iron Fist say, around his gag,
"Yeah! Yeah!
Tyr. Fuck. With a muffled roar, he threw himself against the chains again. Something gave, not the chain, Tyr saw. The bolt that held one of the chains to the wall had pulled forward. No, not the bolt. The bolt had held. Iron Fist had pulled an entire block, nearly clear of the wall. Blood streaming down his arms, he threw them forward again, like an injured eagle flapping its wings, longing to be free. The masonry broke. An anchor block tore clear. Iron Fist slapped at his helmet, trying to free his head so he could see, but the great swinging block impeded him, but only for a moment. As Tyr fumbled, flinging peril toward him, he tore away the pins on the gag and holding his head to the left. He reached over to free his right arm, and finally Tyr caught his spine, and his arms dropped.
"Tyr," he said tersely, "for Orholm's sake I know it's you. That height... that chop across the wrist. Of the shadows, only you're that short. It's you!
Tyr grabbed the spine too low. He could still speak, and he was trying to crane his head to see his sister, but the helmet still blocked that from him.
She tried to kill Gavin, Tyr whispered.
She shouldn't have said anything, shouldn't have confirmed his suspicion that it was her.
She was going to kill you.
I don't care what she did. I damned myself for her.
Too loud.
Tyr shifted her grip on his spine upward, perilously close to where she might paralyze his lungs and not just his voice. She'd never handled two spine pinches at once, had never known she could.
Tyr, no! Tyr, no!
Iron Fist whimpered, but Tyr held. Soon it would be too late for him to do anything. In those long minutes, as Tyr's courage faltered, she knew she should have thought of the Nukaba's betrayal of the seven satrapies, how that woman turning her back on her vows cost the lives of hundreds, or maybe thousands in the Blood Forest and elsewhere, as the White King's armies advanced. Tyr should have steeled her spine, knowing that this woman had tortured and tried to murder Gavin Gile himself. She had tried to deprive Caris of her husband and Kip of his dad. But Tyr didn't think of them. She thought of that little slave girl being ordered to remind the Nukaba she should be whipped tomorrow morning. She thought of the thick scars all the way down to the sleeping slave's calves. As the last spark of life fought to stay aglow in the Nukaba's eyes, Tyr whispered,
Orholm is merciful. To the penitent. Burn in hell.
Tyr reached a finger out and held the Nukaba's right eyelid. Mercy closed. The left eye, the evil eye, justice, went cold. The woman's head lolled and sank, and she lost consciousness. Tyr stayed, though, as Iron Fist wept, and until the last ripples of water in the bathtub were stilled, averring that Haruru hadn't breathed for a long time. She checked. The heart had stopped. Blood pooled on the floor, and the bathwater was stained opaque. It was awful. But Tyr was a soldier. She was a spy and a fighter. She was a free woman and a fierce friend. She could do awful. Now Iron Fist. She'd loused up in letting him know it was she. But she couldn't kill him, even if he was a traitor. She had no orders to kill Iron Fist, and couldn't have killed her patron Blackguard even if she had.
You should shout before you break free, Tyr said, not yet releasing Iron Fist. If they find you standing over the body, they'll think you murdered her rather than that she suicided.
He gasped a desperate, disbelieving breath, but couldn't speak.
But take care what you shout. You're the one angry and bloody and alone in the room with her. Blathering about invisible assassins will sound crazy and will make the guilt land on you. You shout first, Commander, and when the chief eunuch comes in, you'll simply look like a bereaved brother trying to save his sister. You might even make it out of this alive.